Now, starting on Friday, the 7th of March, and continuing throughout the weekend, the Reading Rooms in Billericay are celebrating their 150th anniversary. And thanks to funding obtained from the Heritage Lottery Fund, they're doing this in style. And to tell us all about this, I'm joined today by Andy Maddox and Keith Wood, who doubles up as Chair of the Trustees and President of Billericay's Rotary Club. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. Now, before you tell us just what's planned for the celebrations, perhaps you could tell us just what the reading rooms are, where they are, and how they started. So you going first with this one, Keith?
Yeah, sure. The reading rooms are in the middle of Billericay High Street, actually number 73, and they were open, fairly minimal start, by a group of local businessmen, who got together to read, because in those days only the gentlemen read and ladies weren't allowed. So they got together in 1864. They were able to purchase local newspapers, many of which still exist today. And they got together, and when they'd done with them, they allowed other gentlemen to look at them. So really like a precursor to today's library.
Yes, indeed.
So that's more or less their origin.
Right. And this was a Major James Spitty was involved, was he not? Was he the?
Well, he was one of a number of local businessmen, really. No different from what we are today in our local Rotary Club. We're all in business together.
Yes.
There were a number of them. His name features way back there. Andy and I weren't actually around then 150 years ago.
Well, I realised that.
but Major Spitty features in many of the historical readings, but not many people know much about him personally.
Now, newspapers in those days were, of course, quite pricey, were they not?
Yeah, they were.
And if you compare it, I don't know, what were they, about a penny or tuppence, but of course, you've got to put that in context with what people were earning.
Yeah, at that time, local tradesmen, labourers, etc., were earning probably £36 a year.
Yes.
Policemen, about 54. And even a teacher, the professionals, were probably only earning £2 a week.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, when you think about it. So what kind of material was provided? Was it just newspapers?
Mostly newspapers, periodicals, magazines. I say they still exist today. The Times, the Telegraph, the Chronicle, building news, weekly news, and even the Essex Independent.
Right. Now, Andy, perhaps we could bring you in here. Someone had to pay for all of this, so how did they do that?
Well, that's an interesting story, because obviously what we wanted to do was to make a major celebration.
Now, what I meant is in the early days, right at the...
Oh, right at the very beginning, yes. Oh, right at the very beginning, one of the things that they did do was to hold reading evenings where books like... authors of Charles Dickens, for example, were read. They had concerts held in the town hall in Billericay, where they charged people between a penny and six old pence, not to confuse with today's new pence, to attend these concerts. And the money raised went towards buying the newspapers, the magazines. And after about a month, they were then sold off to members of the public,
right,
which then reimbursed and added more money with the aim eventually to be able to build proper premises for the reading rooms.
And are the reading rooms today the same rooms that were originally established 150 years ago?
No, they've very much changed from the original rooms. As far as we can understand, whilst we are looking at 1864 as being the time when it first started, we understand that they started in a room in a cottage, which I think where the current Barclays Bank is situated now. And this room was rented out to provide access for people to go in. I should mention that, dare I say it, only men were allowed Ladies were forbidden to enter the reading rooms. Right. Those were the sort of sexist rules that existed in those days.
Yes, I can imagine.
It might be worth just noting there that some of these early items are available in the Cater Museum, opposite Billericay Reading Rooms.
Oh, really?
So, Andy and I will tell you later on what's happening this weekend, but some of the children that have been involved have been particularly excited by visiting Cater Museum and seeing some of these 150-year-old artefacts.
Now, I mean, as you say, the reading rooms have been going for 150 years, so in that time, there must be some fairly notable events that have occurred.
In about 1961, the reading rooms were in dire straits, not much money, and the reading rooms committee, as it was, went along to the local Rotary Club that was in existence then and asked for help. And a guy called Horace Isles, who was one of our club's leading and founder members, he was in the club when I joined, and he was instrumental in getting the reading rooms back up off the ground into a financial good state and expanding them. And so a refurbishment of the reading rooms then happened, sort of under Horace's guidance.
And again, of course, the history kind of repeated itself, because the same thing happened in about 2002 with yourself,
amazing,
did it not?
Amazing. It really is history repeating itself. Yeah. In 2002, I was president, my first presidency, in Billericay Rotary Club, and I was approached in a similar way to say that the Reading Rooms Committee was struggling.
Yes.
And I offered, I had a meeting with the existing committee then. I must say the rooms were pretty dire there. They were very dingy, not particularly dirty, but they were heavily in need of refurbishment. Mm. I joined as president, president of Rotary, and became chairman of the trustees. And, and one of our other Rotarians joined as treasurer. Hmm. And we're still there today.
Well, you've obviously done a good job. Now, I know only too well how difficult it can be to get funding from different people like the lottery, etc. So how was this achieved? Now, Andy, I think you led the effort in this, did you not?
That's right. As you quite rightly say, it's not easy to get funding, and the project that we had in mind was going to require some funding, so I got in touch with the Heritage Lottery Fund, which is part of the major lottery, filled in the copious forms that you are required to fill in, and very successfully, after about an eight-week period, they granted us funding because they particularly liked the project that we were going to undertake. Interestingly, in this part of the country, in Essex particularly, they tell me that the heritage funding and the grants that are awarded are very, very few, and they would like more people to take up the challenge, if you like, to obtain grants for the heritage side of our county.
Right. Now Keith mentioned just now about the schools that have got involved. Which schools have actually been involved in?
Well, I approached four of the head teachers of Butsbury School, St John's, St Peter's and Quilters, and very readily and enthusiastically they agreed to get involved in the project in researching the history of the rooms, but also the history of Billericay 150 years ago. And as part of that, they've undertaken a number of projects. One of the schools is actually doing a newspaper based on 150 years ago with the help of the Gazette, who've been involved to give them some support. Mm-hmm. They've also spent, and I went with them a couple of weeks ago, to the Billericay Library to research stories around that time, which the youngsters found extremely interesting, and spent 2 hours obtaining quite a number of stories which will appear in this newspaper.
And is that newspaper going to be publicly available?
It will be on display at the reading rooms over the weekend of the celebration.
And what else have you got coming up on in the celebratory weekend? Because you're kicking off on Friday, aren't you,
sir? We're kicking off on Friday. John Barron, our local MP, has agreed to open the proceedings, and we will have from the individual schools a project that they've each been involved in, which they will display, which will include a trip that the two of the schools went to the Braintree Victorian school, all the children dressing up in Victorian costume.
Yep.
The trustees have decided, maybe not in our wisdom, but we will all dress up in Victorian costumes.
Right.
The teachers...
Where have you got them from?
Well, we've got them from a company in Great Dunmow, in fact.
Oh, right.
Artisan Costumes, I think it's called, and they've got some 20,000 costumes, so we've been able to...
do they fit? Because a lot of the costumes, everybody was smaller in those days, weren't they?
Well, we've had to give our individual measurements, although I can't give out what the ladies' measurements are. It wouldn't be fair to them.
Right.
And so they've been able to kit us all out, put it that way.
Yeah. And you've got a Victorian menu as well, haven't you?
We have. The trustees' wives have very kindly agreed to produce recipes from Victorian cakes and biscuits, which will be on display during the weekend, and for people to try them out and for them to take away the recipes if they feel bold enough to give them a try.
And is there an entry fee for the public to come in?
No. It's free for all.
Yep.
The Friday is invited dignitaries, and we're going to provide them with a bit of lunch.
Yes.
So John Barron will open proceedings, as Andy said. We'll have the town crier there to do a bit of oh yeah, oh yay.
Sounds good.
And he will announce the people that will be speaking. But no entrance fee, no. But many wares on show. It will be a lovely weekend.
Right.
Because there's been about 120 children involved in this.
Yes.
And what we're hoping to do, Andy, in occupying them really, got them all to scribble and put their names and what they thought in a little brick
that's good.
On the inside, and that will be available for all the mums and dads and uncles and aunts and grandparents to see. So there'll be 120 kids all dressed up. We'll be dressed up. It really will be something to remember, and so it should be.
And that's 3 days. That's Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And what times?
Opening at 11 o'clock on Friday.
That's for the public, is it? The public can come in on...
The public will be in the afternoon.
Right.
And therefore that will be from about 1 o'clock.
Right.
And then open at 9 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday morning through to about 5 o'clock in the evening. So it's 2 full days following.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much to both of you for coming in and telling us about this. And the best of luck with it.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks very much indeed.